face in my league. Got a blockbuster on my way and a pickup up my sleeve. They call my team insane, say I'm the one to beat. So you better bring your A game and start playing, cause every single week another win for me.
Yo, commissioner, you can just pay me now. City win first place, then take a bow. Finish on top, I'ma set the standard. Don't believe me, you could check the standings. When I draft, I make smart selections. Got more sleepers than a narcoleptic. Meet your match, kid, my lineup's nasty.
Welcome to another episode of the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst at friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode will be Daniel Rotter from the Fantasy Life app and blog. Daniel is the youngest participant in all of the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational, has a really interesting story to go along with all of that, so I appreciate him carving out some time for me in order to kind of sit down and talk. We're going to jump in with him in a minute, but wanted to kind of ask for some help. I am trying to get a couple of my podcasts nominated for the Podcast Awards. Podcast Awards happens every year. I've been yet to able to get my podcasts to get nominated or much less win. So I'm asking for people to go out and support the Sleeper and the Bust in the People's Choice category and Friends of Fantasy Benefits in the Sports category. And while you're there, vote for my friends Chris McBrien and Yancey Eaton in the Entertainment category for their podcast, Pop Goes Your World. It's a fantastic entertainment podcast that covers a lot of movies, music, TV shows, things like that. Definitely worth a listen. But if you're not interested in listening, just go ahead and vote for them anyways. And vote for my podcast, The Sleeper and the Bust in the People's Choice category, and Friends of Fantasy Benefits in the Entertainment category. A lot of great stuff on this episode with Daniel, so I hope you enjoy it. Here is Daniel Rotter. Joining me now is Daniel Rotter from the Fantasy Life blog. Daniel, welcome to the show.
This is great, Justin. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's always nice to get some people on here that maybe don't have the largest following or are somewhat new in the industry, and I think you kind of fall under both, but it's a pleasure to have someone who is kind of a fresh face but is starting to pick up some traction like you.
Yeah, it's great to be part of this TGFBI where, you know, a lot of people don't know who I am and I get to communicate with some different faces that maybe I wouldn't have if I didn't join this.
Well, let's talk about your TGFBI team. Things haven't gone extremely well. You currently find yourself in 14th place in your league, so you and I have things in common.
That's exactly right.
What's your experience been like? I mean, it's got to be pretty cool to go up against people like you got Ray Murphy of Baseball HQ, Derek Van Riper is in that league, Darius Austin, Dan Strafford, some big names, Al Melchior in that league as well. Is it overwhelming going up against some of these guys?
I'm really not, intimidated. I feel like I have a very good fantasy baseball knowledge despite my youth. And I was hit hard by a lot of injuries early in the year. I picked Madison Bumgarner in the second round, and then a week later he went down. And Carlos Martinez has been very off and on as well. And Yoenis Cespedes and AJ Pollock also both have spent time on the disabled list too. So a lot of my early picks haven't been contributing all that well, but Nolan Arenado has been a slam dunk, and I've had some nice breakout years by late-round picks like Matt Kemp and Asdrubal Cabrera.
And then you've also been hit hard by Shohei Ohtani going down, so that's a...
That's a whole story in itself. So when I had Madison Bumgarner and Martinez on the DL, I was talking to Joe Galina, because his hitting was struggling very horribly. So I flipped him my third-round pick, Brian Dozier, for Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani made one start for me before spraining his UCL, and now he's not going to pitch anymore.
And that had to feel like a pretty good deal, right? I mean, Dozier hasn't been performing well.
I was psyched because Ohtani was doing so well. I was like, this is what I need. My pitching's going to turn around. And then one start later, the UCL sprained, and he's not pitching.
Yeah, it's sometimes things just happen like that. I remember playing in a league years back where it seemed like every move I made was wrong. And I was playing with a bunch of guys and women in the industry, and I'd come within 1 point of winning the league the previous season, and then that season, it just I could not get myself out of last place. And it just was brutal, and I was trying hard, and there were people in the league who weren't trying at all and still being able to. It just like, just could not seem to gain any traction, and sometimes that happens. I mean, as much as I think fantasy is a game of skill, there is obviously some luck factor involved. Otherwise, the same people would win every year.
Absolutely. Everyone gets lucky and unlucky with a certain amount of their picks, and the good teams end up being lucky more than not with their picks than the teams that finish in last, no matter how knowledgeable they are.
Do you have a plan to try to, I mean, obviously at this point, you're probably not in the running for the overall title. It may be even difficult to get back into the running in your league, but do you have a plan to kind of maybe try to chip away and try to get yourselves a little bit higher up the standings?
Yeah, actually the past couple weeks, I've really been working on getting my strikeouts and wins up. I was sitting last in wins by probably 3 or 4 a couple weeks ago. So I've been rolling just one reliever the past few weeks just to get as many starts in as I can, get some wins, get some strikeouts, because I need to bump myself up in those categories. I'm probably 9th place in saves or so. So I'm, you know, just rolling with Shane Green for now. Is hopefully going to hang in there until he gets traded. But I've just been trying to boost myself up in those pitching categories as much as I can. And then on the hitting side, our league hasn't been all that active with trading. I've tried to see if I can pick up some more stolen bases, because I'm down by like 15 stolen bases to the guy who's in second to last. But it's tough because I don't really know any of the guys, so contacting with them is a little hard. But if I could swing a deal to maybe give away some of my power hitters, because I'm first in RBIs in my league by probably 35, then that would be a good fit, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You got to hit people up on Twitter. You
know, yeah.
Just start blowing up, blowing up their social media. Let's see who's got. Oh, hey, Ray probably listens to this podcast. He's got a ton of stolen bases. And
I tried to trade with Nate Miller because he's first in stolen bases and I think last in home runs, but he didn't respond to my trade. So, and I tried to DM him, but it wouldn't let me. So, you know, we'll try and work that out.
Well, I'll give you his email after the show.
Okay.
You can contact him there. I work with Nate over at Fantasy Alarm, a fantastic fantasy analyst. All right. Let's talk more just about you, though, because you kind of alluded to this, that you're young. And I was a little shocked when I found out exactly how young you are. So tell the people, how old are you?
I am 17 years old. I just graduated high school.
That's you just like in the last like month or two graduated high school.
Yes.
that's awesome. How did you get into this? I was doing my draft in school. how did you get into writing about fantasy at such a young age?
So it all started when I was just surfing around on ESPN and I found that Matthew Berry had just started this, you know, new fantasy community called the Fantasy Life app. So I joined that. And I participated in it for a few years, and I actually still have a dynasty league with some of the guys on that app, and we're in our third year. But, you know, I heard Kerry Klug, our editor, and he also writes for Razzball. He put up an announcement saying that he wanted a new writer for the blog about fantasy baseball. So I was like, oh, this sounds cool. You know, I like writing, and I'm obviously very into baseball. So I think that would be a good fit. And so I started writing for the blog for a few months, and then Chris Galligan from Daily Roto Sharks, which had about 7,000 followers, DM'd me on Twitter and said that he wanted to use my articles as well. So I was writing for the both of them, and then into the off season, I also wrote about fantasy football for Daily Roto Sharks, but they merged with another larger website, and I was left out of the merger. So now I'm just writing for the Fantasy Life blog, you know, some weekly articles about hitters to pick up. And, you know, it's still really great. I love writing, and I hope to continue doing it, and maybe one day we'll make it big. Who knows?
Well, you've got a pretty early jump on most people in the industry. That is for sure. So how many years have you been doing this for now?
This is my second year really formally writing for any, you know, real website. I've made some little blogs when I was like 13, but there's only probably two articles on there.
Well, that's still pretty cool. And I'm assuming your parents are totally cool with this. Oh, yeah.
My parents don't really like, they try to let me just run with it on my own. My dad's a big baseball fan, too. So I talk to him about it a lot. He likes reading my articles. He's actually super excited to listen to this podcast. And, you know, he's really supportive of it. He likes that I'm going for it, and I couldn't ask for a better one.
Well, this isn't a question I get to ask most people. What are your plans for after high school? Are you going to go off to college to, you know, maybe study journalism? Are you going to focus on this for now or focus on other things?
Yeah, I'm attending the University of Maryland in the fall. And
go Terrapins.
Yeah, definitely. I'm undecided on what I want to study because, you know, the journalism field's kind of a tough, tough career path to break into and be successful in. So I think, you know, I'm going to try and explore some stuff. But obviously, I'm still going to, you know, be a fantasy baseball addict because that is just my life. You know, I can't go without it. And I'll keep writing no matter what happens just because, you know, the chance that I make it big in a field that I love is too big to go away from.
It's a pretty cool story you've got already. So I'm going to be definitely looking forward to following you as you continue to progress through. I grew up in the D.C. area, so I've got a little you know, place in my heart for the University of Maryland, especially because their college basketball team was so good when I was growing up there.
Yeah, they could be turning it around now, too. We got some big commits coming in this year. Jalen Smith from Mount St. Joseph, I think, is 15th overall on ESPN. So I'm excited to see him from the student section.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the cool things. I grew up in Washington, D.C., and I was, I think, about 5 or 6 blocks away from Georgetown's campus when Allen Iverson went there.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, and Georgetown was, they were good, but they weren't, like, out of this world good. And so, like, midweek tickets were super cheap. So I would, like, go and, like, get pretty much front row tickets at Georgetown to watch Allen Iverson play on, like, a Wednesday night. And it just,
that's awesome.
To this day, I have never seen a more talented basketball player alive.
That sounds so cool. Just to, like, you know, walk into Georgetown and here's this future NBA great, but tickets are so cheap and... That's a really cool story.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So take advantage of you know, those on campus games and stuff. It should be a lot of fun for you.
Definitely, definitely.
When did you let's talk about like kind of before getting into the fantasy industry? When did you start following baseball and start playing fantasy baseball?
I've been a baseball fan for as long as I can remember. I would go to Camden Yards with my little Brian Roberts Orioles shirt with my dad when I was 4 years old. And, you know, we cheer on the terrible Orioles who are now trending in that direction again. And I've just been a huge baseball fan, really, for as long as I can remember. And as far as fantasy baseball goes, I've been playing fantasy baseball probably since I was 9. I've been the commissioner of my home league for about 10 years now, and I'm only 17. So it's really cool. We've had a lot of the same people still together. A lot of my family plays in it, actually. My brother, my dad, my grandpa, my cousin's husband. A lot of families in my 10-team home league. So it's really cool that we all get to bond over that, too.
That is pretty cool. I started playing fantasy with my foster father, and it was kind of our first real big bonding experience. Neither of us had any idea what we were doing. I was probably just a little bit younger than you are now. But it was definitely a huge bonding experience for me and him, and it really sparked a passion for me for baseball and fantasy baseball. So I think families are an awesome way to kind of get into and really keep playing fantasy. You mentioned you're an Orioles fan. This has got to be an interesting week for you. The face of your franchise, the guy who's grown up an Oriole, is now no longer with a team with the hated Dodgers. I hate the Dodgers, being a Giants fan. So what's this trade been like for you from a fan's perspective and then from like an analyst perspective?
Well, from a fan's perspective, I've basically thought of as Manny Machado gone in my mind for the past month or so. You know, there's been so many rumors flying around. I've been getting alerts on my phone every day with the Orioles may get this package and this prospect's off limits for Manny Machado. But I think we got a decent haul back in return. I went to the Futures game, actually, so I saw Yusniel Diaz hit those two home runs, and my friend was really excited about him. He was talking about him all week after that. The Orioles are going to get him for Machado, and we did end up getting him for Machado. And, you know, the rest of the haul, I really think, wasn't that bad either. You can be, in the words of the old TV show, The League from FX, you can be a ranking slave all you want with the prospects. But, you know, Ryland Bannon has 20 home runs, and Dean Kremer, he just threw 7 shutout innings with 11 strikeouts in his first start in AA. So, I mean, how much more can you ask for numbers-wise, even if they're not ranked quite as high as maybe Dustin May or Gavin Lux? If the numbers are there, I can see why we might have wanted them.
Well, and I think if this trade had happened maybe last year at this time or at the beginning of this season or the beginning of last season, maybe you guys get one or two of those extra, you know, kind of bigger names. But he's got 2 months left on his contract. I don't think anybody's really talked seriously about Machado landing in L.A. long term. I think this is obviously a rental, and so I think the Orioles did pretty good. I don't believe, if anybody is out there saying the Orioles didn't get enough for Manny Machado, I think they're grossly mistaken.
Yeah, I think you should just go back and look at what the Tigers got for J.D. Martinez last year. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, they got Lugo, who played in the Futures game, but, you know, they only got 3 guys, and none of them were ranked in the top 100 at the time.
Yeah, and we're talking about an Orioles organization that has had a little difficulty in recent years kind of developing talent. So to get 5 guys that could fill a number of holes, even if, let's say, like, only 2 of them make it to the major leagues, you just got 2 major leaguers for 2 months of Manny Machado. I mean, I think that's a pretty decent haul, especially if Diaz turns out to be the special kind of player that I think most people think he will.
Yeah, we, you know, having Manny Machado stay in Baltimore, it's not doing anything for us. So if we get any kind of positive return from this at all, it's a good deal by the Orioles. We needed some fresh faces, and this better continue. We better be trading Zach Britton and Brad Brock and maybe Adam Jones in the coming days as well. Hint, hint.
Well, but, with Brad Hand being traded today,
I know.
That may open up the floodgates a little bit more for some of these relievers, especially Britton being left-handed.
Yeah, that was crazy. I couldn't believe that the Indians gave up Mejia when I saw that trade. I was like, wow, they're going for it.
I'm not surprised. I don't think that Mejia... it's really interesting that he ends up in San Diego because his defense is not going to supplant Austin Hedges. So it's like, where does he play now? And is his bat special enough for fantasy if he plays a different position? So this is a really, I think, disastrous trade for Francisco Mejia from a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that Cleveland traded him away because, like, where was he going to play? His defensive catching is not good enough to supplant, you know, either of the catchers they have there in Cleveland right now. His bat doesn't play strongly at any other position. I think this is actually a pretty good move for Cleveland, and I'm not super enthralled. I know nothing about Adam Keimer or whatever it is. Simber?
Something like that. I was thinking Simber. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I have no idea what I don't even know what position he plays for. I'm guessing he's a pitching prospect.
He's a relief pitcher. They're both active relief pitchers, I believe.
Okay, so, yeah, no idea. So, yeah, I like the move. So, but maybe that opens up some opportunities now that Brad Hand has been moved for, you know, the Orioles to trade Brock and Britton. And, I mean, they still have Adam Jones, I think, is in the last year of his deal.
He is.
It's going to be a bunch of new faces here pretty quickly in Baltimore.
Yeah, I couldn't be more excited. The team is 41 games under 500, so obviously the current faces have struggled to, you know, produce this year. But it's exciting.
Don't worry,
it's...
you still have Chris Davis under contract.
Thank goodness. I was so worried. If we lost Chris Davis, it would all be over. but it's exciting that we're getting young again. And, you know, hopefully we'll rekindle a little bit of that magic that we had in 2012 once we mature a bit more, when Joe Saunders took the bump in the wild card game and beat Yu Darvish. And we almost beat the Yankees in ALDS, too. We lost in five.
Oh, man. It's interesting because, I mean, like I said, I grew up in D.C., but I was growing up there before the Nationals were there. So the only team in the you know, general vicinity were the Baltimore Orioles. And I grew up during the Ripken years, and it was always really hard to root for the Orioles because they were just, you know, so far behind the Red Sox and the Yankees for so many years. But I still have a place in my heart for the Orioles, and I hope to see them one year make a run and maybe get a shot at a World Series. I think it's going to be long ways away, but
yeah,
I'm rooting for you there, buddy.
Thank you. And that's part of what made the 2014 season for the O's so special, when we won 96 games and won the AL East, you know, went to the ALCS and ended up getting swept by the Royals. But it was really cool that, you know, the Orioles were the powerhouse of the division after being so bad for so long, and we won 96 games. But, you know, that's not going to happen for a while anymore, so I should stop getting myself all riled up.
Yeah, they've got a little long ways to go, but I think the Yankees and Red Sox can be pretty good for quite a while,
yeah.
So now's the time to just tear it down and start over, and hopefully maybe 5 years, 6 years down the road, you guys start competing again.
That's the goal. I'm so glad that Dan Duquette finally used the R word yesterday, rebuild. He had never said that before yesterday.
That's funny. Anything new coming down the pike for you in terms of work in the industry?
Yeah, right now I'm actually finishing up an article on my mid-season MVPs from both leagues. And, you know, I generally write some pretty short articles just about hot hitters to add. But, you know, this one's a little bit more detailed. It's a fun one to write because you get to talk about some star players instead of guys that are owned in 33.4% of ESPN leagues. But after that, I'll just continue with my weekly hitting previews, and you know, if you'd like to check those out, I would be very appreciative.
And you can catch all that on the Fantasy Life blog. You can also catch Daniel on Twitter at DROT_6. Daniel, before I let you go, why don't you give out some advice? You're young, you've kind of jumped into this industry when I think a lot of people would have discounted you because of your age. What advice do you have to people who are trying to get into the industry or want to get into the industry?
I think my advice would be, don't be shy. You know, I've had to contact people for everything that I've done to get into this industry. Heck, I had to email Justin multiple times just to get on this podcast. But if you're shy, you know, it's not going to get anywhere for you. You got to make yourself known to other people. And I have to continue to do that. I haven't made it big or anything yet. But if you keep reaching out to people, I think eventually you'll get a chance. And, you know, once you get that chance, it's your time to shine.
You know, I think I've said this before on here, but I would not be where I'm at. Not that I think I'm a star in the industry or anything like that, but I've made some headway. And I would not be anywhere close to where I'm at currently if not for the relationships that I've formed. It's one of the reasons I went to Tout Wars a couple years ago, even though I wasn't a participant. I just went and helped out. It's one of the reasons I put together the Barf League, which is a Bay Area fantasy league with
a bunch of great acronym.
Yeah, that was coined by the great Lorne Michaels, who has a fantastic sense of humor. And it's one of the reasons. You know, sometimes when people have no idea who you are, you have to be, unfortunately, a little bit shameless and be willing to kind of put yourself out there and be like, hey, look at me a little bit. Because if you don't, no one is ever going to notice you. I mean, and there's a lot of people doing good work out there in the industry that don't get noticed because they're unwilling to kind of put their hand out there, kind of make their voice heard. So I think that's fantastic advice.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, Daniel, thank you so much for coming on. Why don't you remind people again where you can reach on social media and then plug all your work.
Okay. On Twitter, you can find me at drot_6, DROT_6. And as of right now, you can find all my work on the Fantasy Life blog. All the content on there is free, so you should have no problem finding it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
And that's going to do it for another episode of the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational Podcast. A big shout out and thanks to Fantrax for helping out with hosting of this podcast and of all the leagues for the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational. You can follow me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. You can follow the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational at TGFBI on Twitter. And if you want to email me or the show, justinmasonfantasy@gmail.com. Going to have some great guests rest of the way. I apologize for not having an episode last week. Unfortunately, a family issue happened when my mother-in-law had a heart attack. She's okay, thank God, and she is on a full road to recovery, but I was not able to fit in a podcast when everything was going on. So I apologize for that. Life happens, and hopefully we will continue to record every week moving on through the rest of the season. And a big shout out to RotoWire. RotoWire.com, a great place to get all your fantasy-related apparel. And Kenneth Cashman, the owner over there, is responsible for our intro and outro music, and so always love to give him a shout out and RotoWire a shout out because they just do such fantastic work with their t-shirts. And there's a ton of Justin Mason apparel over there. Over on RotoWire Classics on Amazon.com, you can find a number of shirts that feature different aspects of my life. There's also a Sleeper in the Bus podcast t-shirt with, I think, a few left that you can still get on RotoWire.com. So definitely go check out all their stuff and then buy the stuff that features me, because you're listening to the podcast because hopefully you like me, or at least you like the guests that I bring on, which are probably the real talent. So that is going to wrap us up for this episode. For Daniel and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season. First place in my league. Got a blockbuster on the way and a pickup on my sleeve. They call my team insane. Say I'm the one to beat. So you better bring your A game and start playing, because every single week another win. Commissioner, you can just pay me now. City win first place, then take a bow. Finish on top, I'ma set the standard. Don't believe me, you could check the standings. When I draft, I'll make smart selections. Got more sleepers than a narcoleptic. Meet your match, kid, my lineup's nasty. It's far-fetched, thinking you might catch me. No surprise, I'm taking home the prize. Only time I rest is a playoff bye. Make amazing finds off the waiver wire. All day and night, better stay retired. See me at first, all proud and cozy. Bro, please, I can't even count my trophies. Bragging, even when my bats are slumping, I'ma pack a punch, stat track a junkie. I'm the one that don't wanna play. First place in my league. Got a blockbuster on the way and a pickup on my sleeve. They call my team insane. Say I'm the one to beat. So you better bring your A game.